musicians do that occasionally to remind the pastor who's really in control. So thank you for giving me that reminder this evening. So the scripture that we're going to focus on tonight is from the book of Isaiah. It's Isaiah 47, verse 4. It says, "Our Lord, our Redeemer, the Lord Almighty is his name, is the Holy One of Israel." We've looked at two names so far in this series for our Advent service on Christmas names. The first week was Emmanuel, and that name taught us a very important lesson about our God. He is with us. The name that was given to King Ahaz, Emmanuel, God with us, and that's still true today. And that name teaches us that we have a Savior who wants to be around us so much that he came into this world to give his life so that we could spend eternity with him in heaven. He's Emmanuel. And we looked at the Prince of Peace. And you think of that good news that the angels said, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth." That Old Testament name given to Jesus, and still today we're receiving the benefits of his work. Every time we gather around the Word, every day we live in his grace and his peace because he's won it and he's given it to us. The name that we had tonight, the Lord Almighty, does much the same thing. It teaches us some very important truths about our God. Our Redeemer is the Lord Almighty. The Lord. The name that God gave to himself when Moses asked, "Lord, what is your name? God, what is your name?" He said, "I am who I am." And that name, Lord, emphasizes that God has no beginning and no end. He's eternal in nature. So the Lord is this eternal God who chooses to dwell in time with people like us. And he's almighty. And that name Almighty takes us back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 when he created the heavens and the earth. In 6 days made everything that exists and then took a day to rest. We confess that in the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. This name, the Lord Almighty, gives us some beautiful information about our God, about our Savior that we're preparing to worship in just a few days. Our Redeemer is the Lord Almighty. Fits very well also with the other two lessons for this evening. The Lord Almighty, who sits at the right hand of God, in complete control, ruling everything for the benefit of his church, for each and every one of us. Jesus assured his disciples of that truth before he went back to heaven. "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and do this work of making disciples by baptizing and teaching, and know that I, the Lord Almighty, am with you always." What a comfort and what an encouragement for those disciples, and yes, for us still today. The Lord Almighty, that's our Redeemer. The Lord is not bound by time, but he decided to create it. The eternal God decided to create this world, and when he did, he established time and gave it to us as a blessing. Evening and morning, the first day, those 6 days and the day of rest, the calendar was instituted in creation. God established time, not because he needed it, but it was part of his creation. And then almost as soon as time began, Adam and Eve ruined it with the fall into sin. They didn't stop time or change time, completely turned it upside down. And God immediately promised to send a Savior at just the right time. The Lord Almighty, who is eternal in nature, decided to act in time to save the people of this world. Before Jesus was born, roughly 4,000 to 5,000 years passed from the Garden of Eden until the birth of the Savior in Bethlehem. Since Jesus completed his work, another 2,000 years have gone by. 6,000 to 7,000 years, and at just the right time, the Lord Almighty sent his Son into the world. When the time had fully come, God sent his Son. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the Lord Almighty, himself and bound himself by time. He came here to save the world, but he didn't do it as soon as he was born. He waited 33 years because he needed to accomplish some things for us. He needed to use his almighty power to resist every temptation the devil would bring against him. He needed to use that power to lay down his life as a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Jesus was perfect in every way, faced real temptation, conquered it all. And now, through his resurrection, we receive all the blessings, eternal blessings, from the Lord Almighty, who has taken away our sin and has exchanged it with Jesus' righteousness, who has promised us that when we leave this world, we'll live with him forever and ever in heaven. His almighty power has established that, and we will enjoy it eternally. Our Redeemer, he's the Lord Almighty. We live in that knowledge, and we live in that peace every day of our life. But we're not in heaven yet, and that means we're going to still face the challenges of living in a sinful world. Heaven is coming, and when that happens, all this is gone. Until that day, we got to wrestle through some things. But in the middle of the difficulties of our life, God is good in giving us some glimpses of glory. God is good in giving us these small instances or these short experiences that teach us just how amazing the gospel is. Let me give you a couple examples. Church work is hard. I'll just be real honest with you. Because you don't judge things on the basis of earthly statistics, right? This is eternal work we're doing. God's people work really hard to do church work. And it's not just showing up on Sunday morning. It's doing what we can to encourage people with the word and to use that word. The past couple of months, we've had a group of people working on a project here at church to get a spiritual growth packet out to each of the members of our congregation. And a lot of work went into that. A lot of thought went into that. And a lot of time was spent getting these ready for everybody. Last week, I got a text message from one of the people on that team. And it was a Facebook post from somebody who got one of those spiritual growth packets and said, "Thank you. That's just exactly what I needed." And all that work, you're satisfied. One Facebook post. What an encouragement that is. That's the way God works, the Lord Almighty. That's the way he works, to give us these little snapshots, these little snippets of encouragement that help us take our eyes off of the run-of-the-mill things of this world and set them on heaven. You know, that's what it's all about. I really miss that when I haven't been able to go to the jail for the last year or so, because every Wednesday when I would go into the jail downtown, I got that same experience. You know, the jail is such a miserable place. There's nothing nice there. There's a lot of sin and there's a lot of suffering. But it seemed like every time I walked away, I thought, our Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. And thinking about that in preparation for the sermon, I looked back to the spring of 2018, and I was taking a class that required me to do some journaling for those jail visits. And I read through those journals, 11 weeks of my visits, and after each one, I made a comment about sharing the gospel with somebody and name names in there, and I forgot about it. Well, it's good to go back and look and say, those are little snapshots of glory that the Lord Almighty gives to his people. And you have your own stories, your own experiences where the gospel just hits home and you say, this is good. And that's how God gets you ready to go out in the world and share it. Because there's people in this world, and even Christians, who are really struggling to see what's so good about the Lord Almighty. And the reason they're struggling is because they suffer. maybe you are, suffering in some way and really struggling to see the Lord Almighty and His goodness. This one verse is really interesting in its placement in chapter 47. The 47th chapter of Isaiah, the Lord is speaking. And He is speaking not to the people of Israel, He is speaking to the nation of Babylon. And He said, I'm coming for you. And at this point, they haven't even done much. But the Lord had said, Babylon is going to take His people into captivity. And the Lord here in Isaiah 47 was telling Babylon, I'm going to come and get you. And you're going to know who the Lord is. And you're going to be defeated. And then this one verse, it's almost like the people of Israel hear God speaking and they respond. They say, yeah, our Redeemer. The Lord Almighty is His name. The Holy One of Israel. And then the Lord goes on for the rest of this chapter and said, Babylon, you're in trouble. And you can really picture the people of Israel being very excited to hear God say, I'm going to bring my judgment on my enemies and your enemies. And the people said, yes. But then they went into captivity. And they spent 70 years in captivity. So can you imagine saying this? Yes, the Lord Almighty, that's His name, our Redeemer. And then 10, 20, 30, or 40 years later, come on, Lord, I thought you said you were going to get them. And some of the people who heard that promise died in captivity. They never made it back to the land of Israel. We suffer that way. People in this world suffer that way. Hearing these clear promises of God, and as Christians, being able to confess our faith in them, but then we go on and on and on with the same problem, with the same suffering. We don't do it alone. Unfortunately, our enemy is right there with us. And you wonder how he knows. How does the devil know how to get after us? Well, he's not almighty. He's not all-knowing. He does not know your thoughts. God alone knows that. But the devil is the master sinner. That's all he thinks about. And the Bible tells us that he prowls around like a roaring lion, and he's constantly shooting these flaming arrows of temptation at us, and some of them we don't even see. They pass by. We don't even know they're coming. There's that one that seems to always hit. That one sin that we always struggle with. Maybe we say, God, why don't you give me a different one? I'm tired of fighting against this sin. I'm tired of trying to beat this temptation. It always trips me up. I get no relief. And the devil is there saying, yeah. The Lord Almighty, that's your Redeemer? And we wonder. Not tonight, not at Christmas, not any day really, because our Redeemer is the Lord Almighty, the Holy One of Israel. The power that was there when He created the world, power that fulfilled that promise of salvation, the power that raised the Lord Jesus from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of God, the power that changed our heart, the Lord Almighty is still using it. Every single day of our life, no matter what we're facing, that's our Redeemer. He rescued us. That idea of redemption is one that is familiar to people in our world. To be redeemed. The Bible uses that picture in a beautiful way of our Savior Jesus. And He's the only one that could do it. Not just for Himself, for everybody in this world. Years ago, 1994, I think it was, a movie came out called The Shawshank Redemption, about this fellow that was wrongfully convicted of murder, and he was put in prison, this horrible prison, and the warden was corrupt, the guards beat people up, and this guy, it was a bad time. spent, you know, maybe 20 years in prison, and during this time he planned his escape. And he finally got out, and he said, "I've suffered enough for all that I've done wrong," and he says, "I'm getting out," and he got out, and he had to go through some really nasty stuff to get out of this prison. And then one of the final scenes, kind of dramatic, he crawls through this sewer pipe, and he spills out into this little drainage ditch, and it's pouring rain. And he rips off his prison clothes, you know, and he came through there. He's clean on the other side. He's redeemed. It's a neat movie. If you haven't seen it, it's kind of interesting. That's all good if you're the guy that gets... Everybody else is still in that prison suffering. Our Redeemer, he went through all that stuff for us. He didn't do it for himself. He didn't have to prove anything. He didn't have to get himself out of any spot. He put himself there. He put himself under the condemnation of our sin. He put himself in that horrible position of having to face God's justice and God's wrath. And he rose from the dead. And now, we're clean. We're redeemed. The Lord Almighty, that's our Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And it's not just for a few snapshots in time. It's not for those good experiences of our life. It's there when we're really suffering. We have it all the time. You know, the build-up to Christmas, I think, really reminds us of that, because these Christmas songs, the Christmas services, the things that we do around this holiday really zero us in on Jesus. And you kind of feel this anticipation building as you get towards Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And then it's gone. For most people. But not for the people of God. Not for us, because this is our Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, the Holy One of Israel, who was and who is to come. And he's never going to stop. He's never going to stop bringing us that peace and comfort. He's never going to stop being the Lord Almighty, our Redeemer. And we'll never stop being that relationship with him. Even when we struggle, we have the Lord Almighty who is bringing us close to him. Even when we're wondering, we have the Lord Almighty who is instructing us by his word and sacrament. When we're wondering, he says, "Look at me. Fix your eyes on things above, where he's seated at the right hand of God, ruling all things with his almighty power, with the goal of bringing you into eternity with him forever." This Christmas season, think about those names. As you sing the songs and the hymns, think about the names of your Savior. He's Emmanuel. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the Lord Almighty. Amen.